Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
In terms of social media versus non-social media, some people say, well, I don't really want to just see everyone's glossy life. And I'm like, well, first you choose who you want to see, who you want to follow.
Well, we've all been pushed around.
Hello and welcome to It's Complicated, the podcast to help you untangle your relationship with your phone.
Left our hearts in the lost and found.
I'm Tanya Gooden, and each week I'll be talking to my guests about how they manage the relationship with the tiny tyrant in their pocket. We'll be talking about how our phone habits affect our work, our lives, and our loves, and about what our relationship with our phone might just tell us about our relationship with ourselves. If you want help and you want hope, you've come to the right place. This is It's Complicated. This week I'm talking to Christina Carlson, founder and creative director of global Swedish design and stationery business KikiK. With 102 KikiK stores and with KikiK designs sold online to stationery lovers in 147 countries worldwide. She's a sought-after international speaker, a passionate learner, self-improver, and the author of Your Dream Life Starts Here. So thank you for fitting me in on your really busy schedule. I know how busy you are because I follow you on Instagram and I can't believe how much you fit in.
Really?
You're on the go constantly, aren't you?
Yeah, but you know, don't follow Instagram too much because there's a lot of things that I don't post. You know, I do a lot of, like yesterday I had a day here in London with doing nothing, so I read and I did an online course and I walked for 3 hours, so I do a lot of self-care in between, and that's maybe not always, you know, on those days I don't actually want to be on the phone.
So I think you must be very good at managing your time then, and I one of the things I've picked up on in the book when I read it, Your Dream Life Starts Here, is that a lot of people tell you that one of the reasons why they don't write down their dreams is because they don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a very good point that actually, you know, let's look at the things that we're spending our time on. And you say, you know, we're checking our phones 150 times a day and we're spending hours on screen and social media. So I wondered if you yourself had noticed the impact of kind of screen time in the digital world, particularly over the lifetime of being an entrepreneur, because KikiK was launched in 2001,
yeah.
So that was kind of 6 years before the iPhone came to the UK. So how's it kind of changed? How's your relationship with the digital world changed since you first started out with your brand and now?
Well, let me start with saying that I am not perfect. Oops. I am not perfect in any way because I am, like everyone else, addicted to the phone sometimes. But I do realize that time is limited. So in my book, I have a chapter called Life is Short, and I do know that we're not going to be here forever. So I am choosing my time as wisely and as selfishly as I possibly can. In terms of, when I say selfish, it's like, what is important to me? So it's so easy to live a life that is influenced by others. Could be parents, could be teachers, could be, you know, talking about your son's teacher. It could be something that they said long, long time ago, and then you have that carrying that with you. And I decided we all have 24 hours a day. And when I started a business, there was just no time for anything else. And I was very grateful that social media didn't exist because there was nothing to distract me. I was so excited. I loved it so much and I still love it. And I was so focused on the business. So some of my friends said, well, why don't you come to this? And I'm like, no, I'd rather go and clean the warehouse because I just loved it so much. So I think when you're looking at spending your time, you have to do what is right for you. And in my book, I talk about there is a palliative caretaker in Australia who interviewed people who were dying about their regrets. She interviewed all these people, and the most common regret when people were dying is that they wish they lived a life true to themselves. And I do think that we all want that, I think. Like, that's, I haven't met someone who doesn't want to live a life true to themselves, but it's a hard one, especially if you have been through, like, you know, certain influences or certain things in your life that you have really affected you. But at the end of the day, you make the decision. And so for me, with in terms of social media versus non-social media, now when I have it, I use it for being inspired. And we often have this discussion amongst my friends. It's like some people say, well, I don't really want to just see everyone's glossy life. And I'm like, well, first you choose who you want to see, who you want to follow. And secondly, I want to hear some challenges people having, but I don't want to have a negativity because then I just don't follow it, because I go to Instagram to be inspired. So I'm inspired by food, by art, by travel, by personal development books and people's lifestyle, because I, you know, there's one entrepreneur in Sweden that I love follow because she lives a life that is just like unbelievably, you know, exciting and a very life very far from me. But I don't want to live that life, but I get inspired to be inspired by that. So I think it's shaped me in terms of being inspired, similar to books and similar to non-technical. So I'm not sitting in front of scrolling a screen just to waste time. I choose wisely and I don't have any notifications. So I go on whenever I want to go.
It's really interesting you talk about Instagram being inspiring, because I have had lots of people say that to me, actually, that, you know, it is. And I definitely think it's my favourite platform. And the bit I really loved in your book was the inspiration. I mean, it's so difficult because your book is so rich to pick out just one thing, but the inspiring stories of people, you know, where you talked about their dreams. I know you do that a lot on your podcast as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose Instagram is a great tool for that, isn't
it? Yeah, I think so. And I think, again, you know, if everyone knew, or everyone knows this, but if everyone was really taking responsibility of their own life in terms of, I choose what I want to see, in especially, you know, some things you can't choose because you might have, you know, something that is out of your control. But the stuff that you can control, just follow that and make sure you don't watch people that, you know, trigger you. So I think it's super inspiring. And a lot of the self-care that I do for myself in terms of spending my own time on my own, that is to be inspired. So I read books, and, you know, if I am on Instagram or if I listen to podcasts, whatever it is, I always want to walk away being, you know, inspired and, you know,
uplifted.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you talked earlier about, you know, how when you first launched Kiki K, you were so, you know, consumed with it and you didn't want to do anything else. So what difference do you think it would have made if you'd had a smartphone? And, you know, maybe not just social media, maybe, you know, 24 connectivity to the office, email, WhatsApp. Do you think, that would have been difficult to deal with?
No, I think it would be. I mean, to start a business today is so much easier in one way, because you can become global very quickly. You know, when I started, it was when my dreams about being a global business, when I even just had one store in Australia, was all, like, people thought I was crazy. But, you know, if someone says, oh, well, I just want to reach a global audience today, no one really thinks that's difficult. You know, that's not even...
Because,
you know,
that's what the internet's for.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So I think starting a business today is incredibly exciting, and, you know, or even be, you know, for us as being an existing and a business that have been before that, is incredibly exciting. We sell to 147 countries now. My podcast reaches over 100 countries, and I just think that that is unbelievable. And what I love specifically for anyone listening and thinking about their own business or wanted to do something that is very niche, that is the beauty of global, because you could have a few people in each country and still have a big audience, But if you were only focused on the UK, for example, considering we're here, that might not be possible because there might not be enough niche in that country. So I think it's absolutely amazing. And I think it's the most exciting time to be alive because there are so many changes. And of course, being in retail, I'm the most challenged at the moment because there's so much changes. And it's certainly difficult. And it's so many. I could sit here and talk about negative stuff, but I'm going to choose to think about imagine what we can do and imagine the changes we have to do. And it's all very exciting. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be super exciting.
So it's interesting you talked about retail, because I was going to say it's really interesting, isn't it, that there's this huge appetite for beautifully designed stationery and physical objects that help us put pen to paper. And, you know, not that long ago, we thought we wouldn't be writing anymore. We thought we'd be typing. We thought we'd be using e-readers. So what is it you think about these physical objects that we still crave and enjoy, even though we've got all these digital alternatives and solutions? Because, you know, stationery is really, it's booming, isn't it?
Your business is flourishing. Yeah.
And all the odds would say, oh, that shouldn't happen because it's more efficient to type.
Yeah.
And to do something electronically.
Yeah, well, let me start with, there's a couple of different ways of answering your question. One, at Kikike, we are not just a stationery brand. So our purpose at Kikike is to inspire people to live their best life every day. And we do that through four words, which is dreaming, doing, enjoying, and sharing. So I see ourselves as a lifestyle brand, not a retail brand. We just happen to be in retail, but you know, we also sell online and we wholesale, and you know, I feel like we can do anything. It's Swedish design, and it's so there, the aspect, obviously we've been focusing a lot on stationery. But I feel like that's not all we can do. We do workshops as well on how to be more mindful and to set goals and stuff. So it's really about inspiring people to live their best life. But in terms of stationery, I think, you know, it's I feel like we're more important than ever because we are spending so much time on our devices. And there is a lot of research that says you learn better. So when you write things, and it's interesting because I did an online course yesterday and I listened to it and then I handwrite it because I feel like I learn. If I just consume it and listen to it, I kind of don't register it the same way. But when I handwrite it, I learn so much better. And there's a lot of research that says that you create new pathways in your brain when you write.
Yeah, I've read that research. It's fascinating.
So I think we need to be using that. And also I think it's a really beautiful way of getting away from our devices. We've spent so much time on them. So connecting, you know, putting pen to paper is very natural for me. But for anyone who isn't, it's a beautiful thing to try because I feel like I think and I come up with so many ideas when writing. So I do a practice in the morning, which I call Morning Pages. And it's based on a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And I'm hesitating to say this because I don't know if I'm following. I read that like 20 years ago, so I'm not sure if I'm doing it the way she says it. But the way
You've done it the way that works for you.
Yes, but the way, and I think that's what everything should be doing. Like when you read books, you take whatever is relevant for you and then you know, you move on from the rest. But the way I do it is that I start a day with writing three pages. So it's in a notebook that I don't want to save. So I use it on, we have little central notebooks where it's just thin, so when I travel I can have it with me, and I basically just write whatever comes to mind for three pages. And it could be a challenge that I'm having or a problem that I'm trying to solve or something I'm grappling with. Sometimes it's just about gratitude. Like sometimes I would just wake up thinking, wow, I'm so grateful for everything that I have. You know, it was funny today when I went for a walk and I saw a green smoothie. I was like, I'm just so grateful that, you know, you can get so much nutrition in one
the green
smoothie.
Smoothies exist, yes.
So yeah. I'm just like, there's so much to write about. So I do that, whatever, but it's mainly about things that just comes to mind. And it's often things that I'm not sure about. And often I get this question, how did you not get burnt out in the early days? Because I worked a lot and this is before my kids and stuff. So I did work a lot, but I loved it. Like it wasn't like work for me because I just loved it so so much. And secondly, if I had some challenges, and small business and any business, regardless of the size, we all have our challenges and there's changes and there's difficulties and we'll go in business cycles, I used to write about it and I felt that I never kept things in my body. Like I, some people talk about it, but I kind of wrote about it. So if I have something that I'm not sure about, and you know, I often say, well, I'm just going to think about that, and then in the morning I write about it, and then I just throw it away for because I don't want to censor anything I write. So sometimes it might be about something that I don't want to share, or about someone that I, you know, might have a problem with, or whatever it is, and I don't want to, if I know that that's going to be around, I'm going to censor my writing. So I often, because I'm often in Sweden, I sit in a fireplace and I put it in there, or I shred it or whatever, or just throw it away.
I wish I had a fireplace that I could put it in. That sounds lovely. Very
well,
Swedish.
You can buy a little mini shredder or yes, just put it into pieces.
So did you never do notes on your phone? I mean, when you first got a smartphone, did you ever think, actually, this would be a really great place for me to keep notes? Did you always think, actually, that's something that needs to be separate, that I need to do in a physical object?
Well, I don't actually use my notes section. I never have, because I kind of forget about it. If I'm out and about and I don't have a notebook close by, which is really rare, because I often have a little one in my notebook, in my bag, but it's, you know, that does happen. And someone always comments on it if I don't have it. So
yes, I bet.
Then I write an email to myself. That's how I do it. Yeah. But in terms of writing, like the morning pages and stuff, I would never type that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's something I really, you know, the way of my communication is better through writing. That's how I communicate best. So.
So you dropped into the conversation a bit earlier on that you had no notifications enabled on your phone. So tell me a little bit about that. Did you always have no notifications? Is it something that you've kind of consciously put in place?
Yeah, consciously put in place. And I let me just have a think. When I did it, I would have read a book about it. I read about everything.
Might be my book.
Yeah, but this was probably before I came across you. So they're... I don't have them. And, you know, it's funny because I get a lot of criticism never answering my phone, including my family is very frustrated, because in the early days, you know, I had a lot of phone calls. It was anything from sales to like everything. I don't have, there's hardly anyone who
calls
me.
No one calls now, do they? No.
Which is good. So I could have it on more. But it was really funny because only like a couple of years ago, my brother called me and I answered. And he said, oh, gosh, I just have to sit down. And I said, are you okay? And he said, I have never, ever called you and you actually answered the phone. And I'm like,
so he thought, what's wrong? What's happened? Yeah.
So I use my phone the way I want to use it. And, you know, I have young kids now, so I do get a little bit more from, you know, my partner, but also from the kids saying I never answer the phone. So I'm going to try to change that. And now we're going to work out how to just get notifications for them perhaps and things like that, which you can do with technology. But just because the phones are in our lives, I don't really want to sit here and all of a sudden my brother calls me, or, you know, I want to be present here. And I also don't want to have notification when I'm working on something. And it doesn't mean that I don't check social media in the middle of my work. I do, so I'm absolutely not perfect. But I don't want to have these pings. And it, like, I'm really sensitive to noise, like super sensitive. So I get really, like, if someone comes into, if we're sitting like this and your ping was going, I would say, hey, do you mind putting that off? Because I actually can't hear it.
Yeah, I'm actually really sensitive as well, so that's very interesting. I hate the sound of a ringing phone. It just really jars.
Yeah. And so, you know, some places you might not be able to say it, but if in my home, I'm like, yeah. And we have actually a little sign that the kids did, because I guess they're grown up this way, and it's quite a few years ago now, that's like no phone allowed at the dinner table. So we would never have that. And, you know, when I say never, like, you know, if it's a Sunday morning and I'm sitting reading a book and I want to Google someone's, of course, you know, sometimes the phone is close to it. But I tried not to even have it close to me, because it's so easy to get distracted and all of a sudden you spent 5 minutes when I could have spent that on something else.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I was going to ask you about your family and your partner. You talked about them saying they can't get hold of you sometimes on the phone. I have noticed, because obviously I follow you on social, that you do share your home life mm-hmm. as well as your kind of work life. And I wondered, again, was that a kind of conscious... Did you ever sit down with your partner and say, this is what I will share about the children, or... Did it evolve? Were there ever any disagreements about where the overlap is between, you know, kind of sharing stuff about you and your family and the brand? Mm-hmm. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I just started Instagram last year in terms of my open one. So I've always been on Instagram because I'm a visual person and I love food and I love beautiful things. So I used to take photos of everything, but it was a private one. I decided really early that first when I started a business, I never really wanted to be well known. It was like one thing that I just want to do what I love, and I didn't want to have to do all these, you know, TV and things. That was kind of not me. And then when you don't have any money and you know, marketing money and stuff, that it's a natural thing, and it's a lot of interest. You know, it's quite a while ago I started a business. There was a lot of interest in, you know, female starting business. So I was fine with that. But I decided when Instagram came, because when it just came, and before I understood that you could be private or not, there was a couple of days where I got a couple of people I didn't know, and I posted something about my breakfast, and then someone says, are they organic? And I'm like, no, I'm not answering. Like, this is just for me. Yes. So I was like, oh, you can be private. So I decided very, like, for many, many years that I wouldn't open. And you know, a lot of my girlfriends who are in that kind of industry or following me in my private one always say, you should open that. It's just so Kiki K. It's just so you, and just comes across you as well as Kiki K. And I said, yeah, that's because that's what it is.
Yeah, because you're the brand, and the brand
yeah,
is you.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
But I said, no, I'm not doing it. And then I guess, so I said no for a long time, which was kind of against it, you know, working against my, you know, my own marketing team, which was not always great, but I decided that I didn't want to do that. And then last year, I, you know, because now it's a different thing, I think, to, it's very much like you're part of it and you choose whatever you want to post.
Yeah.
So I kind of got my head around, and also because I started to do much more public speaking, and then people always want to connect with you, and then all of a sudden I had, like, you know, I don't know, 1,000 emails, and I'm like, I can't cope with that. So at least now people can interact with me and I can decide what I do. And I'm not very good at responding all the time, but, you know, the people who are following me, and, you know, I don't have a lot of followers because I just started, are the people who so far is really engaged in terms of, you know, the personal development and the dreaming movement that we have created. So I feel very much that the people who are following me are aligned and
They're your tribe, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's very different to compare to someone who would have, like, you know, 3 million followers and have so many opinions, because I don't want that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course we can all have different opinions, and I respect everyone's opinions, but I'm not going to have an argument, because everything that I put out there is, it's to support people and to inspire people. It's nothing to do, and, you know, there'll be certain things that I feel really passionate about, but I don't expect everyone to agree with it, but it doesn't have to be become this, like, us and them feel.
So do you talk to your children about how you use social media? You know, what are your hopes for them in terms of how they'll use the new world? They've grown up completely with all of this.
Yeah.
So what's your kind of message at home about how they should be using it?
Yeah, and it's an interesting one, because Axel, who's 11, started maybe Instagram a few, like, 3 years ago or something like that. She was only 8. And, you know, there was a lot of debates with my friends, you know, do you do that or you don't? And I think it depends on the child. Axel is super, for his age, he's very mature, and he's grown up with anything is possible. So, and he has a very positive view of life. And he started YouTubing. So Instagram, I think, is fine because you can kind of choose, but YouTubing, it's much more in your face in terms of, you know, we were in New York, and all of a sudden, you know, we sit down in the taxi, and it's like, hi, everyone, here I am in New York. And I'm like, oh, we just went off a 24-hour flight. I do not want a camera in my face. So I had to make that very clear, say, hey, you can do this, but I don't want to be part of it, because I don't want to have to then, you know, because sometimes I post things later. I didn't want to be like, you know, and it has to be like, you know, we don't always share every hotel we're staying in and all that kind of stuff. So we had a conversation, and I think he's very leveled with that. And it was funny, because I go to a seminar each year, and I sat next to a guy, and I was saying how I was a little bit frustrated with this YouTubing thing, just because it was camera in your face all the time. And I was always worried, thinking, you know, imagine if he goes into, you know, our laundry, and there's like laundry everywhere, because, you know, I don't want to showcase that. And then he was, my friend, he was saying, it's just, see it as creativity. Like, he's just very creative, and it's amazing that he's doing this at such an early age. And it's just using other mediums and tools that, you know, you used paper and pens and paper, and he's just using a different one. And that really changed the way I looked at it.
Mm.
And then we just had some boundaries on saying, I don't want to be in it, and you can't be, you know, if we're in a hotel, you can't be.
Yeah, sharing where you are all the time. Yeah. That's quite an interesting conversation to have with children.
Yeah.
So they understand that that's actually not always a good thing to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I feel, and also I have debated this a lot with my friends, some who do not let their have kids on social media at all, and I'm not sure which one is better or worse, and I'm not saying I'm only sharing what I'm doing, and I'm not saying that it's the perfect way, because I think also the way Axel has, Tiffany's not, I'm not talking so much about Tiffany, because she's not so interested in social media. She does, like, musically and stuff, so she dances and stuff, and it's a private one, but the way I see, Axel is really interested in it, and he's inspiring people, etc. And I see that as, if I was stopping it, then it would probably, he would need to wait a couple of years, and then once he's legally able to do it himself, he cut me out of it. So I'd rather be, you know, part of what he's posting and helping him, because of course he has some negative thumbs down on YouTube, and, you know, some sarcastic comments, etc. So then we talk about how to deal with that. And I think that is a really good thing to do early, because he's now so used to it.
Yeah, so you're always part of that world with him.
Yeah.
Instead of being
someone shut out.
Shut out of it. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, so that's how I decided to see it. I'm not saying that is the right way, but that's how I chose to do it. And because he was so open and willing, and he lives for an 11-year-old, he lives an incredibly interesting, crazy life, and he does beautiful things for the world. So I think it's worth sharing. It's just really, you know, setting some boundaries around it. And we talk about it all the time. And we have, like, I have his Instagram, so I can see every private message he gets and everything. I have it on my phone. So
yeah, I've got that with my
my youngest. Really having time to read them, but I know that
you can just keep an eye, can't you?
He knows, and And also, you know, my partner, he keeps an eye on YouTube and to see, because just so we, and in the beginning, he had to show us before he was posting. And now I'm fine with that, because I know that he's doing really things. And, you know, he's coming with me to, we're going to Africa tomorrow to visit 11 schools that we're supporting. And he's super excited to document that and, you know, make a difference. He went to bought soccer balls for the schools on his own. You know, that was his initiative. So he's really, you know, force for the good. So on that note, I think it's great to have him on social to inspire other kids to be similar.
I've got three questions that I ask everybody that I want to finish up with. So, what is the one message that you'd like to get over to everyone listening about their relationship with their devices and the real world? You know, if you just had one thing that you could say to them, what would it be?
One thing would be disconnect or reconnect. And if I could take 1 minute, I went away without my phone for 3 days. And that was for me, it wasn't a big deal with the phone. It was actually not to bring any books, because I'm such a reader. So that's my distraction. So I just went with my notebook and pen. And the first 24 hours, I was just like, this is so boring. I just want to be with the kids. And I traveled so much that the last thing I wanted to do was going away. But someone told me about it, that they did it, and it was life-changing. And then the second day, I just started to start thinking a different way and be creative. And then the third day, I came up with the structure of my book.
Wow, yeah, that happened while you were doing a digital detail. I never knew that. That's fantastic.
So I think that sometimes, because we never get bored, because we always have the devices, we always have a distraction. So if we are feeling something we might not want to feel, or feeling bored or feeling anxious or whatever, the phone is always there to kind of take that, distract us from that. I think it's sometimes really important to actually feel and actually stop and being bored, and then things will start coming up for you. So actually disconnect to reconnect, and do that on a regular basis.
I love that. Have you got a tip that you haven't already shared that works for you about getting a good balance, a good kind of tech, real life balance?
Mm-hmm. So I stopped replying to emails, which is a big thing, because I'm very much an email communicator. And I just found that I spent so much time on emails. Mm. So I decided that I would have an out-of-office reply to say that I do not reply to emails. I have an assistant, so it's easy. Not everyone can do this. But I got so much criticism from it, especially from friends. It's like, who do you think you are? And I'm like, well, so it doesn't mean that I do not reply to emails, but the expectations. So this was not into, so internally I didn't have that. So it was just, you know, outside of our office, because I just found that it was so easy to start an email conversation and then just go backwards and forwards. And if they know, and this is like, you know, speaking engagement podcast or whatever it is, I just felt like, if they knew that I wasn't answering, they went straight to the, if they really wanted me, they went straight to my PA and they will say, this is what I want from her.
Yeah.
And it was just, so then she would come and say, because there's so many people that want to catch up for a coffee and stuff. And it's, and then it's like, how do I decide? Like if there's 20 people want to do that, how do I decide and where? And then it could be all over the world. And it's just, when you're global that way, it's kind of.
You'd just spend your whole day, wouldn't you, emailing and not doing anything else.
Exactly. Yeah. So I decided not to. So I have this out of office reply saying, I do not check emails. It's not on, if anyone is emailing me, it's not on at the moment because my PA is on maternity leave. So I have someone temporary, and it's short hours, so now it's not on, but normally it's saying, and then I give some tips in that email how they can do it themselves.
Arianna Huffington does something really similar, doesn't she? I've been using her out of office message, I think, for about 3 years.
Yep.
But I think there'll be people listening to this podcast cheering at the thought of somehow managing to do away with email, because I think there's a huge weariness with the amount of email we now deal with and how it eats into everything else we're doing.
Yeah.
So my last question is, what do you think you've learned about yourself from your relationship with either your phone or social media or the digital world? Has there been anything that surprised you, anything that's pleased you about how you engage with it?
I think there is so much positivity about technology. There's also a bit of negative side, but I am going to focus on the positive. And the possibilities of connecting with people globally that you might not even have known about, first of all, but secondly, that you might not have come in contact with, but because you're sharing common interest or passions, you are able to connect.
And well, that's how you and I met exactly, each other. Yeah. So yeah. It's a perfect example, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that is so amazing. And, you know, if you counting podcasts as a tech, obviously it is.
Fantastic use of technology,
absolutely.
I think, podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah. And since I started my podcast, the people that I, you know, get to have a conversation with is just unbelievably exciting. And, you know, I'm doing things that I'm really passionate about, and I'm, you know, following my things. And there are people who might not like that, and there are people who love it. So that's what I'm focusing on. There's so much positivity.
So you're a connector, aren't you? You're someone who likes connecting. Yeah. You like connecting with other people, and that's what the digital world does for you, as well as inspiring you. Because I did really like what you said about we're all responsible for what we see.
Yeah.
So there's a phrase I used to use with people. I don't know if you know radiators and drains.
No.
So the expression is you should surround yourself with radiators and be a radiator. Yeah. And not spend time with drains. So radiators are people who give out, you know, positive, warm energy. And I feel like that about social media. The way you're describing curating your feed, I definitely, you know, look at people that are going to inspire me rather than people that are going to
Absolutely.
Bring me down.
And I think, you know, it's, you know, someone said, well, it's not really realistic. And I assuming, perhaps wrongly sometimes, because I'm assuming that people know that there is always two sides to a story, and there's always you know, a life beyond Instagram. Because
I think there are lots of people that don't think that.
But I think, you know, that's time for waking up.
A reality check,
Because I think, you know, someone said, you know, I really want to share, you know, the hard yards of motherhood. And so, and I think we should share some of the challenges. But I do not want to hear someone whinging about, you know, no sleep, because I might just have suffered with no sleep. So I'd rather not hear that again, because now I want to hear something that gets me awake, even if I'm really tired, because we all as mothers know how that is. And we all know that we all have to do so many things as mothers. And you want to be inspired to deal with the challenge. So I'm not saying not to talk about the challenge, but you want to do it in a way where here's the problem, and this is what I'm doing about it.
And all the people in your book, the very inspiring people there, that's exactly what they do, don't they? Because they haven't all had easy lives. They've all had challenges, but they talk about how they've overcome them. So they're very positive messages.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the people in my book, you know, obviously most of them very well known. But, you know, someone like Oprah, everyone thinks, you know, forgets that, you know, she's done so much amazing things to get where she is today. Mm. And that wasn't easy. Like, if
her start in life was dreadful, wasn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yes. So I like to, because it's so easy to look at someone who's really successful, you know, successful business or successful, you know, personality. But there is a human behind that, and it's not always easy. So that's why I love, you know, sharing those stories that, you know, and, you know, in the podcast I have people who are not well known at all and then really well known. And I think there's, you know, there's beauty in all of it, because they're well known, they're humans. You know, someone like Stella McCartney, she was like, you know, born in a, you know, incredibly privileged, you know, upbringing in so many ways. But, you know, she's, you know, been challenged in so many ways, you know, with her mum dying early and you know, being a fashion designer when you're so well known, it's probably much harder because you get so much criticism. And of what she's done based on her values is just incredible. And, you know, the sustainability part of her business and, you know, making so many other fashion brands following that is incredible. So I think technology connecting and radiating that is incredible.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you for chatting with me. And for everyone listening, you can follow Christina and Kiki K online. So for Christina, it's Christina Kiki K on Instagram.
Yep.
I follow Christina. And I just say to everyone that she is definitely a radiator.
Oh, thank you.
I get very inspired by her feed. And for Kiki K, it's Kiki K on Twitter and Kiki.K on Instagram. Yep. And you can get your Dream Life Starts Here and the Dream Life Journal, the companion workbook, which I think is fantastic, at Amazon, at all good bookshops, and of course at all Kiki K stores.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps other people find us and it means you get a helpful little notification when a new episode becomes available. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And both my books, Off and Stop Staring at Screens, are available on Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.